Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. Did you see the report about this huge spider discovered in a rainforest in Guyana? It was found by Dr. Pia Nazarecki, an entomologist and photographer at Harvard University's Museum of Comparative Zoology. Its size was likened to that of a puppy. The pictures are really incredible. Well, after reading about the encounter with this animal that sprays sharp barbs, eats mainly worms, but the occasional bird, and has a painful, venomous bite, we are told that the spider gets, quote, euthanized by the scientists to become part of the university's collection. The spider is the Goliath bird eater variety, by the way. And I just do not get how this can still be considered an acceptable scientific practice, to kill an animal, to make a specimen, put it in a jar. Well, I want to welcome Dr. Mark Beckoff, who is former professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Colorado Boulder and co-founder with Jane Goodall of Ethologists for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Mark's latest book is Rewilding Our Hearts, Building Pathways of Compassion and Coexistence. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Peter. It's great to be on your show. Thanks for asking me.
Of course. Okay, so you learned about this unfortunate spider and the scientist who killed her. You also wrote about this. What's your take on these events?
Well, you know, I'm against it. I mean, for a whole host of reasons. The first, of course, the spider didn't do anything to this guy. In fact, in the article he wrote, he said it was harmless and it was, you know, beautiful. It turns out it was a she. And so, you know, killing in the name of education, you know, making animals specimens, doesn't cut it for me. And he also talked about how he euthanized the spider, but he didn't euthanize it. He killed it. Euthanizing is mercy killing.
Yeah.
And there was nothing merciful. You know, the spider wasn't sick. In fact, you know, she was rather beautiful and healthy. So there's just so many things wrong with this. And to me, it's an embarrassment to science when people do this.
So what legitimate branch of science still does this? I mean, it seems archaic and unnecessary.
Well, taxonomists sometimes do it to look at the anatomy of animals. Collectors do it. You know, sometimes museums do it. People do it, you know, just because they want to learn more about the animal, about the animal, that, and they couldn't learn certain things from a live animal. So it's still done. I mean, I think there's more and more resistance to doing it. Of course, saying that this spider, you know, in a jar is going to serve an educational purpose is really dubious at best. I mean, certainly if he took some good videos of it and then posted them, people would see their behavior. So it's still done, but the articles I wrote were pretty popular, yep, with a lot of people just very, very upset.
One of the points that I really know that you want to talk about is the degree of killing that is part of, quote, conservation biology. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, the story about the spider, came on the heels of 890 wolves being killed by being poisoned, trapped, shot by airplanes in Canada as an experiment to see if getting rid of the wolves would increase the population of some of the caribou. And so, yeah, conservation has a bloody history. Scientific research has a bloody history. But there's a real move now in the field called compassionate conservation, about which I write in my new book, Rewilding Our Hearts, that stresses that individual lives matter. And the basic bumper sticker for compassionate conservation is first do no harm. And so many, many people are now extremely upset when they read about killing in the name of education, killing in the name of science, killing in the name of research. So we're moving, but it's going to take a while.
So first do no harm as a first tenet of compassionate conservation. What are the other big ideas in this concept?
Well, the big idea really is to replace inhumane, often lethal studies and treatments of animals with compassion and kindness. So, you know, for example, there's populations of baboons who cause problems in South Africa. So instead of shooting them now, they're shooting them and killing them. They're being shot with paintball guns. It stings them. It's it harasses him and it gets him away, and it also identifies him so they know who's coming back. Putting fences up, for example, you know, to keep animals away from, say, livestock. You know, also how we mark animals, not getting away from freeze branding seals, which is extremely painful and changes their behavior. So one of the tenets of compassionate conservation is that we reduce the stress on the animals and we get more reliable data, because if you're studying stressed animals, the database is going to be tainted.
I want to get back to this point about the value of individual animals and something the so-called scientist said. He said that this spider is, quote, a very common species, not protected or endangered, and collecting of a single individual poses absolutely no threat to its survival. So he's disregarding this animal as anything unique.
Right, I mean, he had all the reasons. So it's not endangered or threatened. So removing one animal from the population, you know, supposedly wouldn't matter. But that violates the tenets of compassionate conservation, where every individual counts. Conservation biologists also often play what we call the numbers game. Well, there's a million rats, so it doesn't matter if we kill 1,000 of them, you know. But they also would say, well, there's only, you know, a handful of chimpanzees or other endangered animals, so we should not kill any of them. But once again, the numbers game ignores the fact that each individual has their own interest in living, and that we shouldn't just be killing them because there's more of their species. I wouldn't want people to come in and say, well, we're going to kill you because there's, you know, a lot of people like you in the world. That wouldn't go over very big with me.
Yeah, I hear you. And we certainly hope that you're able to expand and this line of thinking, this mode of thinking to the general population.
Well, we're getting the word out, Peter. Uh-huh. Next July,
okay, hit me.
It turns out, at the end of next July 2015, there's going to be an international meeting on compassionate conservation at the University of British Columbia in BC, Canada. And we've had a couple of gatherings before. They've been very successful. So the word's getting out, and the people who kill in the name of this or that are certainly going to be in the radar.
Great. We'll be looking forward to providing more information about that conference. Talk about a related topic related to, that you've written about, and that is this notion of animal ambassadors, you, particularly in your conventional European or North American style zoo, where you've got this idea that you've got animals, they are in captivity, but they somehow represent those in the wilds for some higher purpose.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, so the pandas are often said they're captive pandas are ambassadors for their species, or captive wolves or elephants. They're not. They're not ambassadors. The ambassadors for a species are those who are living as freely as possible, realizing that even wild animals are sometimes not all that free. But, you know, they're money makers. So pandas are bred for captivity, and there's a lot of hoopla in the news. But these animals are destined to live the rest of their lives in captivity. And oftentimes, twins are born, you know, polar bears, for example, at the Denver Zoo. They're put on display, they make toys, they make stuffed animals, they make a lot of money, and then they ship them around and really sometimes separate them. So the whole notion that they're ambassadors is basically, in my eyes, a ploy by zoos, because there's still no evidence that zoos educate in any meaningful way.
Well, that's a good point, because you hear in their PR and everything they do, they're all about education, and they're educating the next generation of conservationists and animal lovers.
Well, the data don't support that. A recent international study showed that less than 5% of people who leave zoos understand that biodiversity is important for conservation. You got to hear that. They understand now that biodiversity is important for conservation, but they don't learn about how to make contributions to, say, and neither do they make contributions to ongoing projects. So, you know, as an academic, I'm all for learning for learning's sake, and I don't doubt that people leave a zoo having learned something, but not in a meaningful way, and meaningful means do they do something to help these animals in the future by either studying them or by giving money? And so I liken going to a zoo like going to a car showroom, taking the cars out for a test drive and saying, thank you, that was fun, and leaving. You learn something, but really the bottom line is, do we learn something that means something for the animals in the future?
Mark Beckoff, thanks for joining us on Animals Today.
Thank you, Peter, and happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals. And here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Well, without a doubt, one of the biggest animal welfare stories this year is the series of three lawsuits filed by the Non-Human Rights Project on behalf of four captive chimpanzees in New York State. And as 2014 winds down, it has been a busy few weeks, with two of the cases moving through the legal system. I am pleased to welcome Stephen Wise, who is president of the Non-Human Rights Project. Thank you for returning here to update us on the latest happenings with these possibly groundbreaking cases, Stephen.
Well, thank you for having me. I think that the cases we filed are groundbreaking, whether we ultimately win them right now or not. I think they're laying the groundwork for us to win eventually, even if we don't win them right now.
Agreed.
But I'm not saying we won't, but if we don't... we're learning a lot.
Indeed. So why don't you first remind our listeners what is meant by non-human rights and what the Non-Human Rights Project is all about?
Well, the purpose of the Non-Human Rights Project is to break through the legal wall that currently stands between humans and non-human animals. On one side of that wall are human beings, all human beings, but only human beings, who are legal persons, which means that they have the capacity to have one or more legal rights. That's what a person is in law. On the other side of that wall are all the animals of the universe, and they are not legal persons. They are legal things who are seen by the courts as not having the capacity for any legal rights at all. We think that wall needs to come down, and we're beginning the process of trying to knock a hole in it through these first three lawsuits and the ones that will come after that. We're trying with these first lawsuits in New York State, and then we're already planning three to five more lawsuits in two other states, and the purpose of them is to really punch through that hole, or punch that hole through the wall, and have courts recognize that at least one or more non-human animals are legal persons, and that they have the capacity for certain fundamental legal rights. And the rights that we're bringing before the court now are the fundamental right, or is the fundamental right to bodily liberty that is protected by a common law writ of habeas corpus. And that's the cause of action for all three of the lawsuits.
So who are you suing, and what is the mechanism for filing under habeas corpus? Like, what exactly do you do?
Well, habeas corpus means produce the body, and anyone who's being wrongfully imprisoned, or some other person who believes that someone else is being wrongfully imprisoned, can seek a writ of habeas corpus in New York from the Supreme Court, which is the lowest court in the state of New York. And you file a request that the court issue a writ of habeas corpus. Now, the reason that we chose the writ of habeas corpus, or the reasons are many, but one thing is that we bring the suit, but only persons under New York law are allowed to seek a writ of habeas corpus. And so we're trying to bring the issue of personhood, at least with respect to a writ of habeas corpus, directly in front of the courts. Can a non-human animal, can these chimpanzees seek a writ of habeas corpus? Are they persons for the meaning of a common law writ of habeas corpus? And that's really the arguments that we're having in front of the courts.
Got it. So in one particular case, the case of Tommy, that's moving along, that's leading the process. Where do you stand on that? What decisions have come down?
We actually have three cases, and interestingly enough, they all went in three different directions. So the case involving Tommy, who is a chimpanzee who was imprisoned in a small town called Gloversville, New York, on December 2nd of 2013, a little more than a year ago, we filed suit in the Fulton County Supreme Court, which is where Gloversville is. The judge there refused to issue the writ of habeas corpus on the grounds that a chimpanzee can't be a person. So we appealed that to the, it's called the Third Appellate Department of the Supreme Court in the state of New York. We had oral argument in that case in early October, and in early December, the court affirmed the lower court, gave its reasons why a chimpanzee could not be a person. We strongly disagreed with that court and believe it likely that it made several significant errors of law. And so we have taken the next step now, which is to file a motion for their permission for us to take our case to the highest court of the state of New York, which is the Court of Appeals. If they do not give us permission, then we will go directly to the High Court, the Court of Appeals, and ask that that court hear it. And that court can either hear it or not. Meanwhile, we have a second case involving a chimpanzee named Kiko, who is being imprisoned in Niagara Falls. We lost in the Supreme Court in Niagara Falls for very similar reasons, the reason we lost in Tommy's case.
Mm-hmm.
We took that appeal up to the 4th Judicial Department, sitting in Rochester, and had an oral argument there on December 2nd, 2014, which was 2 days before the Tommy case came down from the 3rd Judicial Department. So we're just on the verge now of filing a motion in that 4th Department here in Kiko's case. Kiko's the name of the chimpanzee, asking that that the court allow us to file a supplemental brief so we can show them why Tommy's court was wrong in its reasoning. We don't want Kiko's court to start going off in the wrong direction.
Yes.
If we win, wonderful. If we lose, then we will do the exact same thing in Kiko's case as we're doing in Tommy's case. Ask the 4th Department for leave to appeal to the High Court, and if they don't give it to us, then we'll ask the High Court itself. Meanwhile, the 3rd case involved 2 chimpanzees being used for biomedical research at Stony Brook. We filed that case about a year ago, too. It was thrown out very early for reasons that were clearly wrong. We had to determine whether or not we were going to appeal directly to the High Court or just refile the case. We decided to simply refile the case, and we're refiling the case in another county.
Before we conclude, I wanted to remind everyone to visit the website nonhumanrightsproject.org, where everything that you've discussed is chronicled in a very timely and complete fashion, and there's just a wealth of information on the website there, so check that out. Stephen, to conclude, what happens if you win one of these cases? Is there going to be complete legal and social chaos and unrest? What's the outcome?
No, it's going to if we win Tommy's case, what will happen is that Tommy will then be freed and sent to a sanctuary. And we've asked that he be sent to Save the Chimps in Fort Pierce. That's what it's going to mean for Tommy. What it's going to mean probably for Kiko and also for Hercules and Leo, who are the chimpanzees who are being held in captivity, being used for biomedical research at Stony Brook, they would likely be on the way of getting out of there too. What it would mean within the state of New York is not clear. It really would be the kind of the first opening. What it would mean, we don't know. We'd have to look at the decisions. And then what it would mean for out of state, whether we win or lose, it's really hard to know. You know, we're
right
at the beginning of
right
what we all think is a decades-long strategic litigation campaign that we spend decades planning. So win or lose, you know, we're kind of kicking open the door. We're trying to educate the courts about what we're doing, why non-human animals should be persons with fundamental legal rights. We're seeing what their feedback is, and then we'll try to change our cases to meet any objections that we encounter. So whatever happens, it's going to be a slow but steady movement in the United States.
Stephen Wise, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me again.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org, and I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Welcome to Staples.
Yeah, I hear Staples can handle all my holiday shipping.
Yes, sir. We have UPS available in-store, plus all the supplies you'll need, from boxes to bubble wrap.
Great, but my schedule's crazy with the holidays.
Staples opens early and stays open late.
What if I can't get here till Saturday?
We're open 7 days a week.
Even Sunday?
Well, we're open 7 days, so...
Okay, what if a week had 8 days?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'd still be open.
This holiday, ship at Staples. Same UPS shipping and pricing. Available 7 days a week. Less stress, more savings. Staples.
The holidays are almost here, so head into Guitar Center for the season's best deals. Like Kohala ukuleles, only $29 each. Martin Lifespan acoustic guitar strings, buy one, get one free. An Epiphone Les Paul or Washburn electric guitar, just $99. Or AKG headphones, only $19. So whether you're buying for someone else or yourself, music is a gift. Give it, share it, love it. Expert advice, the best selection, and unbeatable prices. This holiday at Guitar Center, now through Sunday.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification require. Cancellation fee, auto pay, and paperless billing and other restrictions apply.
If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Only Dish brings you the best in entertainment for less than $20 a month. Cut the cable and don't get directed. Switch to Dish because at just $19.99, Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. It's so simple. The same channels cost less with Dish. So since you can't see the difference, don't pay the difference. Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Get premium movie channels free for 3 months, starting at just $19.99. Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. Call now to save with Dish. Dial 1-800-790-4815. That's 1-800-790-4815. The same channels for less than $20 a month. Dish. Call 1-800-790-4815 for details.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? Power Swabs is the 5-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is Ben Gordon with Power Swabs, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with Power Swabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that was developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that lifts stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Power Swabs risk-free, call 1-800-941-9203. That's 1-800-941-9203. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-941-9203. That's 1-800-941-9203.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I recently learned about a new and important risk to the health of our dogs and cats I need to share with you. Now, most of us know to keep medicine for people away from our pets, particularly dogs. You don't want them to get into your pills or those of a guest and poison themselves. But with the rapid growth of hormone replacement therapy for various human conditions, dogs and cats can be sickened when they are exposed to these potent preparations. Here to explain is Dr. Srinu Lingretti from All Creatures VCA in La Quinta, California. Welcome, Srinu.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for having me back.
Srinu, what constitutes hormone replacement therapy, and what do these treatments purport to do?
So hormone replacement therapy is a relatively new treatment that's been approved in the past decade by the FDA. It is a lotion, a gel, a type of spray that are prescribed by doctors, human physicians, for patients to apply to their skin so they absorb hormones through the skin instead of having to take pills or injections. And this is basically used, especially in the elderly population or people who are going through menopause or having other conditions as they get older, to try to replace these therapies to bring us to a new state of health. And the consequences of what we're seeing is that since these are applied on the skin in various areas, a lot of animals are actually getting an absorption through their own skin, too, by just physical contact with their clients. And what these hormones are meant to do is, of course, is enhance our lives, help us to feel better, to replace these hormones that we lose as we get older. But I got to admit, there are even some younger people who use it for various reasons. You know, if they have, for example, cancer at an early age and have ovaries removed, we see it in some younger people, too. They're using these therapies, too. It's becoming a very, very popular form of treatment. And unfortunately, in the veterinary community, we're seeing some side effects from this that are very, very detrimental for animals.
So you're saying people apply them to their skin, and then they'll hug their cat, or their cat will lie in their body a certain way, and then they'll absorb in their skin, or they'll lick it off and ingest it?
That is exactly it. These ointments and lotions are actually prescribed to be placed on places like the inner elbows, the wrists, the legs. And when you have your pet on your lap, or if your pet sleeps with you in your bed, some of these lotions even get on the bedding and actually can be transferred to your pets. And, of course, the number one thing is that the pets love to give us kisses and lick our skin. And some of these, unfortunately, don't have a bad taste to them. So the pets are actually licking them right directly from the skin. And this is becoming how the mode of transmission to these pets are absorbing a larger amount. You can understand that a dose that a person takes on a daily basis that they put on their skin is going to be a lot more potent to a tiny little pet under 10 pounds. And so we see a lot of side effects from this.
Yes, and we're going to get into that. So, but what are the challenges in figuring out that hormone replacement therapy is the problem, both as a guardian and as a veterinarian?
Well, yeah, because the problem that we see is that the side effects that we see from these excessive amounts of hormones in animals could be from so many different things. And since this is a relatively new treatment of form that is growing in popularity, it's not always at the top of our list when we think of it as the reason for a problem. So some of the side effects, for example, that we see are dogs and cats actually developing some kind of form of going into heat, you know, developing some sexual tissue like mammary glands actually in a male dog, or small testicles or a small penis in a male dog, or in a cat, for example. You may not even see any signs other than they're howling as if they're in heat, and it almost seems like they're in pain. And there's so many causes that could be this. You've got to, of course, rule out all the major medical reasons that we know of and have always known that could cause these conditions. And a lot of times it's very difficult to even ask personal questions to a client to say, are you taking some creams and where on your body are you applying them? It can be quite embarrassing for the client, and it's a question that, you know, you have to approach very, very cautiously depending on your client's mental state and what they're feeling. So it can be very, very difficult to diagnose. There's just so many different reasons why these signs that we see in these animals. I got to admit, the number one thing I think that we see that I've found in the past probably 7 to 8 years that I've noticed this problem is that a lot of dogs and cats, actually the only sign they show is hair loss. Hmm. And there's probably about, I could probably rattle off about 20 to 30 different reasons why there would be hair loss in an animal. We don't even think that it could be coming from a medication that the owner is applying to their own body.
So other than the signs that you see in these animals that are exposed to hormone preparations, what sort of medical conditions can this lead to?
Well, I got to admit that most of the time they do okay. You know, they usually do recover without any problems unless someone is applying estrogen to their body. Estrogen to small mammals actually can be very toxic. It unfortunately can cause bone marrow suppression, which actually can be irreversible. It can actually turn into something fatal. So that is probably, of all the side effects and medical problems we see, all of these things actually do reverse with time, except for when someone is using estrogen. That can be very, very dangerous.
And could it actually cause cancer in the animals?
That is the other thing that we do see. We see in a lot of females, for example, especially if they've been spayed later in life, you can actually, the estrogen can increase the risk of cancer, breast cancer, with the mammary gland tissue starts to develop and becomes abnormal. And some animals are predisposed to it more than others. And yes, that is the other thing that we can see. Fortunately, that can be caught early if it is detected and treated in most of the time. But yes, that can also, as you can imagine, and know, it can be fatal also.
And can this often lead to unnecessary surgeries for the animals? And
absolutely. You've got to understand from a veterinarian standpoint, the top things that we worry about are, well, where could estrogen be coming in this
right.
animal's body? And there are certain conditions. There are certain benign tumors that are functional in the body that we would want to look for. So, of course, we start running a series of tests that can be very expensive. And ultimately, when you're stumped and you can't find the answer, sometimes you just say, well, let's go explore, because sometimes that's the best thing to do, to just look for something. Like, for example, a lot of cats and dogs, when they get spayed, if a little bit of the ovary tissue accidentally slips and gets into some of the abdominal contents, no joking, it can actually turn into a functional tissue and start producing estrogen on its own. And that's the number one thing we think about. Well, oh, my gosh, there must be some kind of remnant of the ovarian tissue that was left behind at the time of the spay, no matter
right.
who did it, even the most experienced surgeon. And that would be, unfortunately, you know, we see these dogs, a number of cases across the country, going to surgery looking for things like this or tumors that we can't detect on our testing, non-invasive testing. And it's just unbelievable how much expense and a lot of unfortunate procedures are done on pets just because it could be something as simple as this.
So how do you definitively diagnose that hormone replacement therapy is the cause of your patient's problems?
Well, actually, it can be quite simple. You just take a blood test and you send it to a lab that can check for the estrogen, progesterone levels, and the testosterone levels in the pet's blood. And when you get one of the numbers that's basically off the charts in an abnormal range, you've got your answer right there. And sometimes can be quite easy when you're on the right track.
So for treatment, is there more to that than just preventing exposure?
Yeah, it depends if the creams are actually blocking certain types of pathways in the body. For example, there are certain hormones that actually suppress the adrenal glands, and while we're waiting for the adrenal glands to come back, as we're waiting for it to get out of the system, we do supplement with certain medications. It's a case-by-case kind of scenario. But most of the time what I find is, you know, the signs of this actually, this is what also makes it difficult. They could be pretty quick. You know, when somebody starts using a cream, it could be within weeks, but it could take months before any of these signs appear. But sometimes when you stop using the hormones or you place them in a different location to minimize the exposure to an animal, the side effects actually may take months to even a year for it to go away. And it's a long waiting game, kind of wondering what is happening to my pet and are we actually going to get better. So it kind of depends on a case-by-case basis about what medications we might use, or is it just worth it to just wait and see and find that time when it gets better.
Serena, are you seeing a lot of these cases in your office?
I hate to say it. I do. It is a growing phenomenon. And where I practice in our valley, we do have an elderly client base. And I think I see possibly a disproportionate number of cases compared to other parts of the country. It has become very, very popular in our valley here and with our retired community. And this is also, a lot is being also applied to men, too. Men are taking testosterone replacements to help as they get older, too, as well as some preparations which include a little bit of progesterone and estrogen for men and women. It's interesting how the combination of all of these hormones can actually help people live better, but the side effects to our pets, I am seeing a lot more cases as time goes on, and I'm trying to remember to ask these questions in a very delicate manner when I do suspect that this could be the case.
I think it's wonderful we brought this up because it's a lot of people don't know about this. I think it's wonderful that you ask your clients about this. I'm hopeful that a lot of veterinarians do this when they see early signs of this problem. Like you said, hair loss can be an early sign. So thank you very much for sharing your expertise on this matter with us, Dr. Srinu Lingreddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more on your federal or state income taxes, I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. The IRS, with their Fresh Start initiative, is offering more flexible terms to Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. They can help you lift your wage garnishments, stop bank levies, and put your tax problem behind you once and for all. If you owe tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS or state, our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, we can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your debt for far less than what you owe. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobitis is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobitis for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobitis, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobitis isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobitis now. Call 800-554-4128 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-4128. That's 800-554-4128.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Attention, if you've been classified as a high-risk driver due to DUI, DWI, or tickets for aggressive driving and are required to get expensive and hard-to-find SR-22 auto insurance, then you must listen to this message, because we can help. Serenity Group Insurance is the largest insurance company in the U.S., specializing in SR-22 auto insurance and focused on serving the needs of customers classified by the state as high-risk drivers. We help people get back on their feet by providing easy-to-get, low-cost SR-22 insurance that anyone can afford. If you need SR-22 insurance, or if you have it now and are paying too much, you need to call us today for your free quote. Our specialists are standing by waiting for your call. We understand people make mistakes and are here to help by making SR-22 insurance easy to get and affordable for everyone. The call and the quote are free. Call us now at 800-676-5216. That's 800-676-5216. Again, 800-676-5216. 800-676-5216.
success is measured out in miles. What makes you think you're something special when you smile?
Welcome back to Animals Today. Make sure to check us out at animalstodayradio.com. There you will find all our past shows. You can listen to them right there, or you can check us out on YouTube. We have got the audio from all the previous shows being uploaded onto YouTube, so you can listen anywhere you want. AnimalsTodayRadio.com. We are sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals, a nonprofit animal welfare group, AIAnimals.org, and they are into a bunch of interesting things too, so please visit AIAnimals.org. Also, of course, both of those on Facebook and anywhere. Anywhere you want to be. How's that? Hey, Lori.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
That was a good pitch.
Did you see that the video of that dog outfitted with those 3D printed half circle bouncer leg extender things?
Yes.
That is that. Well, that's the video of the week, I would have to say. So you've got this sort of medium sized dog born with deformed front legs. And getting around okay, seems somewhat happy, you know, doing okay. But then an expert who's able to make some specialized prosthetics, which are basically sort of a D-shaped, custom-designed, 3D-printed devices get strapped onto the legs. And then you see the video of this dog happily running for the first time. It's really the most incredible thing.
Wow, I know.
Yeah, and so it just is a sign of where we're going in this sort of technology for people and animals. And the plan, I understand, is to let the dog get used to this prosthetic and then gradually make them a little larger, a little higher, so he can assume a normal gait and get his back parallel to the ground. He's still facing down a little bit, but he is running, and it's just the most incredible thing. So there's check that out. I challenge you to look at this video, not smile. I just will have to share this story with the listeners. In Russia, the tax collectors will come to your apartment apparently and ask for payment. So that's doesn't really happen in the States, but apparently there's a story of a tax collector coming into the apartment, wants $100 and something equivalent of, and the occupant says, don't have it. And then the tax collector sees his rare cats, and he wants to sort of confiscate the cats in exchange of payment, or hold them hostage until the payment is made. Well, at that moment, the occupant finds the money and pays off the tax collector because he does not want to part with his rare cats.
Were these exotic cats?
Or they're just exotic cats. Okay. They are specially bred, and there were like a bunch of them there, family.
Okay.
So these cats were not nationalized. But they had it. There was a price on their head. Anyway, things could be worse. Things are getting pretty bad for SeaWorld. The latest chapter is that the CEO, Jim Acheson, is stepping down. He announced that just the other day. It's been a tough road for SeaWorld. The revenues are down significantly. Attendance is down. In fact, overall revenue for the year is down 6% and attendance down 4.7%. So it's getting to be a tough ride there. They just announced a bunch of layoffs as well. Plus, I will remind the listeners, there is a lawsuit, we talked about this previously, that has been filed claiming that the owners of SeaWorld misrepresented the effect of blackfish and how it would possibly hurt the business related to stock offerings and stock, right? So they're in a world of trouble, and it looks like the momentum is really, really building for that. On the other hand, good news that's good news, but even another flavor of good news is in Mexico, the legislature has passed a bill to ban the use of animals in circus performances. Isn't that incredible?
That's incredible.
That's right.
I didn't know there were circus performances in Mexico.
Well, they have circuses and they use animals, but soon, assuming the president signs this
bill, which has been passed by both Mexican bodies, then the circuses will have to list what animals they are in possession of and allow them to be distributed. They'd have to get rid of them. So it's a pretty tough life to be a traveling circus animal, as you know. So that's a real step. And the UK and the United States should look toward this as a model, don't you think?
They should. Don't you find it strange that Mexico is the model to this?
Yes, I sort of find it. Yes, we do find it strange.
Okay.
We'll get there. You know, in the States, the TEAPA, which is the Traveling Exotic Animal Protection Act, was reintroduced this past summer. That would end the use of wild and exotic animals in traveling circuses. Representative Jim Moran reintroduced that. So we'll let you know what comes of that. Sadly, one of the remaining northern white rhinos has died in Kenya. This male Sunni, or Sunny, died of natural causes. He was 34, and really it's just a matter of time before this subspecies dies off. There's only six of them remaining, and there's just one more male who could potentially breed, so this species this group is just going to die off.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Fortunately, the southern white rhinos are still around, and they are being seriously poached. So you can look into that and see who's trying to protect those southern white rhinos.
Thanks, Peter.
You bet.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.